Blog Talk Radio. Good evening. Good evening to everyone. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. It is July the 5th, year of our Lord 2022, and you are listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us tonight. We thank God for you. We pray God's blessing upon you. We are having a thunderstorm moving through the area at this time. Hopefully we can stay on the air. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where we are now having in-person service. You are cordially invited to come and be a part of the services of First Baptist. Our services start each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning, 10 a.m. every Sunday morning. We're in the sanctuary at First Baptist, and you are cordially invited to come and be a part of the services. Of course, we are taking every precaution. We are taking temperatures. We're wearing our face covering, and we are practicing our social distancing. But you are welcome, more than welcome, to come and be a part of First Baptist. Now, we invite you to go to our Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and then share. So others will know that First Baptist is on Facebook. On the Facebook page, you'll find more information about First Baptist. You'll find all of the sermons, all of the Bible studies that we have taught this year. The link for the Bible studies are there. The call-in number for the Bible study, that number is area code 845-241-9839. Area code 845-241-9839. When you go to the Facebook page, you'll find that link or the link for all the Bible studies as well as the Sunday morning service. We go live 10 o'clock every Sunday morning. 10 o'clock every Sunday morning, we go live from the sanctuary at First Baptist. So if you cannot visit us, if you are out of the area, you can certainly tune in on Facebook and you can see the services of First Baptist of Holly Springs. Now, there are three ways you can give to the house of God. Of course, you can come to church and bring your offerings and your tithes with you, or you can stop by the church between the hour of 10 and 11:30 a.m. Someone will be there to make sure that your financial needs are met. You can mail your contributions and your tithes into the church. Go to the Facebook page, find the correct mailing address for that. And also, you can use the Cash App. Our Cash App is FBCHS, FBCHS, that stands for First Baptist Church, Holly Springs. You can be a supporter of the house of God tonight. We hope that you are or have enjoyed your 4th of July holiday. It was a great day to spend with family and friends. We hope that you were safe and you used all precaution to do so, that you enjoyed that time being together as we celebrate the birth of our country. We want to be prayerful for those who are still on our sick list, those who are in the hospital, those who are locked behind prison bars. Let us not forget those who are less fortunate than we are. Let us continue to pray for them and give the Lord thanks for what he is doing in their lives right now. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for those who are on the phone line, those who are on the internet, those who will hear this lesson long after it's been recorded. We pray, God, that as we go into your word tonight, you will give us clarity, where we may understand your word, that we may come to a better knowledge of your word. We thank you, God, that you didn't leave us without a word. And in times like this, Father, we can come into your word. We can find instructions for our soul. We ask, God, that you would pray for those who are sick, but that you would bless those who are sick. Bless those who are in the hospital. Bless those who are locked behind prison bars. Bless those who are just simply going through at this time. We know, God, that all things are possible if we only believe. So, Father, we leave them in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Our lesson tonight is called A Blasphemer Stoned. A Blasphemer Stone. Now, when I put up the Bible study, we're coming from Leviticus 24. I put up from 10 to 23, but I think I'm only going to use half of this week, and then we'll come back and do the other half next week. But I want to deal with Leviticus 24 and 10. I'll pause while you find it. Leviticus 24 and 10. I want to start there. It should be common knowledge that among God's people that he requires us to be holy because God is holy. And since God is holy, we must treat him and his name with holiness and with purity. But unfortunately, even some Christians find it very easy to use the Lord's name in vain. And the truth is, those of us who have experienced God's holiness are hurt when we hear someone profane God's name. God's name represents his character, and we are truly playing with fire if we take his name in vain. This week's lesson reveals how the holy of the Lord name, how holy the Lord name really is. Although some people don't see taking the Lord's name in vain, to us it's a very serious matter. God does, and this lesson warns us what happens when we defame the name of the Lord. You see, 3 months after the children of Israel left Egypt, they arrived at Mount Sinai. You'll find that in Exodus 19, 1 and 2. They were there for about a year, Numbers 1 and 1. And they stayed around Mount Sinai for at least a year. And while they were there, they received instructions from God on how to build a tabernacle. They received instructions on the priesthood and the various laws from God that they were given in the books of Exodus and Leviticus. In those laws included the laws God gave to his people were 7 different feasts or celebrations that Israel was to observe. You'll find these feasts in Leviticus 23, 4 through 44. After Moses told the people what feasts God commanded them to celebrate, God also gave Moses instructions for the oil that was supposed to be used in the lamps that burned continuously in the tabernacle. Then the Lord gave Moses instructions for preparing the showbread that would be offered to the Lord and eaten by Aaron and his sons. You'll find this in Leviticus 24, 5 through 9. The showbread was 12 loaves of bread, 6 in a stack, 2 stacks. This bread was every Sabbath, a fresh loaves of bread were put out every Sabbath. They stayed there the entire week. After the week was over, Aaron and the priests took the bread, and a new batch of bread was baked and placed in the showbread table outside of the Holy of Holies. It appears that in the midst of God's giving Moses these instructions, it seems as if the Bible says a fight broke out between two men, one who was born of an Israelite woman and an Egyptian father, and the other man was a full-blooded Israelite. This is where our lesson picks up tonight. In that 10th verse, Leviticus 24 and 10, it says, "And the son of the Ishmaelitish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel, and his son, the Israelitish woman, and a man of Israel strove together therein the camp." Not long after God gave Moses instructions for the showbread, we are told that a man or the son of an Israel woman who had a child by a Israelite or by an Egyptian man went out among the children of Israel. We are introduced to a man whose mother was an Israelite and his father was an Egyptian. He was a half-blooded Hebrew and a half-blooded Egyptian. This man's name is not given, but his mother is in verse 11. We don't know anything more about his father. This was a mixed marriage. See, undoubtedly, after many years of slavery in Egypt, intermarriages were common. Even when the Israelites were freed from slavery in Egypt, many Egyptians and maybe other slaves who represented other races or minorities left when the Jews left. When God opened the door for the Jews to leave Egypt, more than just Jews left Egypt. Some Egyptians left. Some people from other parts of the world who were in Egypt or captured in Egypt left. Egyptians who had intermarried with these Hebrews, and even God-fearing Egyptians were undoubtedly included among the freed Hebrews. Moses, the author of Leviticus, probably includes this parental information about this half-Egyptian and this half-Israelite man to show the problems that could arise from such mixed marriages. A little later, God commanded his people not to intermarry with the people in the promised land. You'll find that in Deuteronomy 7, 1 through 5. The Apostle Paul warned the Corinthian church to avoid mixed marriages or being unequally yoked, not on the basis of race, but in the basis of faith or what they believed. The phrase, he went out among the children of Israel, most likely means that this unnamed man with mixed heritage went out walking throughout the camp of Israel. And while he was walking among the Israelites, this son of this Israelite woman began to speak about God. And for some unknown reason, a fight broke out between this man and a full-blooded Israelite. The word strove together means that they quarreled, and it suggested that they had words with one another. There was some type of feeling that was going on between this man and who he met as he walked through the camp. And then verse 11 says, "And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses. And his mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Beeri, of the tribe of Dan." During the fight, the unnamed Israelite woman's son became so angry that he blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. Blasphemy, slandering, reviling, cursing, or showing contempt or lack of reverence for God in any way is strictly forbidden. It was a serious crime punishable by death. This man was not only using the Lord's name in a bad way, he also cursed, meaning he was cursing. This is where I want to hang my hat. I'm going to keep going, but I want to come back. I want to talk about that. God's name is holy, and it speaks of God's character. God's name is holy, and it speaks of his power. God's name is holy, and it speaks of his love. To defame his name is to defame his character. And to attack the Lord himself was strictly forbidden. God's name was a gift of grace to Israel. It was God's name. It was through God's name that Israel was released from Egypt. It was through God's name that Israel, the waters of the Red Sea were parted. It was through God's name that they had food to eat and water to drink throughout those wandering years. His name, therefore, God's name is to be revered. The third commandment of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 27, forbids using the Lord's name in false worship or in incarnations or divinations or attesting to falsehood or witchcraft or speaking blasphemy. The third commandment, which is also part of our understanding of God, thou shalt not use the Lord's name in vain. His name shall not be used in that manner. And God will not forgive those or find those who use his name guiltless. For believers in Jesus Christ, abstaining from blasphemy should be the uttermost importance. Jesus taught his disciples to pray that God would allow his name, and Jesus hallowed the Father's name on the cross. You'll find that in Matthew 6 and 9, also John 12, 27. You see, since this man was at the very least guilty of breaking the third commandment, the Bible said they brought him unto Moses, undoubtedly to render punishment. The last part of this verse provides additional information on this man's mother. We are told that his mother's name was Shelomith, the son of Beeridai, the tribe of Dan, which was one of the 12 tribes of Israel, or one of the sons of Jacob. It is written here that we know who his mother and her father was. This verse says, verse 12 says, and they put him in ward that the mind of the Lord might be showed him. Since this man had violated the third commandment, since they brought him to Moses to render judgment, it appears that Moses instructed those who witnessed this man's blasphemy to put him in ward or in ward, or put him in jail, or to put him in custody. He would be held in custody until the mind of the Lord might be showed him. In other words, he waited on the Lord to discern what this man's punishment would be. This was another case where the people under Moses' leadership had to trust God's wisdom. Whatever God's will was for this blasphemer, the people knew it would be perfectly just. Up to this point, God had not specifically and explicitly stated what punishment a blasphemer should receive. So here, since a man's life was at stake, it was important for Moses and the people to consult with God and wait for God to declare what punishment this man should receive. So in verse 13 through 16, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses. That's verse 13. I will stop right there. And the Lord spake unto Moses. We don't know how long it was between the time this man was arrested to the time that God actually spoke to Moses. But in due time, when God's time was right, when God felt it was the time, the Bible said that God spoke to Moses. What the Lord spoke to Moses, we find in verse 14. It says, bring forth him that have cursed without the camp, and let all who heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. You see, first God told Moses to bring forth the man that had cursed without the camp, went through the camp cursing, went through the camp blaspheming his name and calling out all vile things. Since God had determined that this blasphemer should be killed, he appointed the place for his execution when he ordered Moses to take this man outside, away from the camp, told him to take him out of the camp, bring forth him that curseth without the camp. In other words, take this man who cursed in the camp out of the camp. They had to cast out this criminal from among them, separate this unclean act, just like it was someone who had leprosy. They separated him. They didn't want this to spill off on everybody else. So they took this man and they separated him like an unclean thing, unworthy of a place in the camp. God commanded Moses to let all who heard him lay their hands upon his head. Undoubtedly, laying their hands upon the blasphemer's head was designed to show that those who heard the man cursing were witnesses to his crime. This act was also symbol that the man's sins were being put back on his own head. Once those who heard the man commit blasphemy laid their hands on his head, God commanded Moses to let all the congregation stone him to death. This would show the zeal for the honor of God's name. Everyone in the congregation was to throw a stone at this man who blasphemed God, demonstrating their contempt for his man's reproach toward God. One would think that being a part of a stoning would also bring great terror or great information or great understanding among those who were in the congregation. If you're one of those people that are stoning this man, then certainly it should have brought to your mind what would happen to you if you were caught blaspheming, what would happen. So certainly those who would take part in this would learn a very important lesson forever. After anything that bordered on blasphemy, anything that looked like blasphemy, anything that even sounded like blasphemy, they would immediately turn away from it. It should be noted that stoning this man for blasphemy was directly commanded by God and not by man. He gave this command specifically to the Israelites for this specific act of blasphemy. No one should take this particular act of stoning as a license to commit or condemn anyone to death. But now let's go to verse 15. Now God makes it plain. He says in verse 13, "And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, speak to the children of Israel, saying, whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin." Just in case God's people would think that this punishment given for the blasphemer was for only this one particular person, God removed those thoughts by giving a standing law for the stoning of blasphemers. Before, there was no standing law for that. But God said to Moses, "And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sins." In other words, anyone who curses, any man, any woman who curses and uses God's name in vain will bear the same punishment as this man. Verse 16, "And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as the stranger, as he that is born in the land. When he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death." And just in case anyone wasn't sure, God meant what he said in verse 15. He spoke even clearer. Herein he says, "And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him." There were no ifs, ands, or buts about this new law concerning anyone who is guilty of blaspheming, whether you were a stranger walking through, or whether you were born there, whether you were Egyptian or Israelite or mixed or whatever, whoever, wherever you come from. If you were caught blaspheming and cursing, you could be stoned to death. Those who take God's honor lightly might think that there's nothing wrong with cursing or using the Lord's name in vain. But God is clear. We must not make light of blasphemous wordsmiths which come from malice tongues. God wants us to speak in a holy manner. Speaking blasphemous words or using God's name in vain is something that we should not permit as people of God. I'm going to stop right there. I know it goes on from 17 to 23, and I'm going to pick that up next week. But I want to deal with this concept. First of all, we know that we should not use God's name in vain. But I want to deal with this fact about cursing. We got a lot of folk that just cuss, just do a lot of cursing, whether they're Christian, non-Christian, whatever. It seems as if our society is inundated with people who curse, or what we say cuss. I don't know how you pronounce it, but it seems as if we have a society today that is inundated with cuss words. I hear cuss words on the TV all the time. Some of them are taking God's name in vain as well. I hear cussing in radio in music. We hear it on the street wherever we go. And again, these are not just unsaved people. Some of these folk are saved, but supposedly church folk. Church folk cuss too. So I want to deal with that. And of course, I want to talk about the fact that we don't take the Lord's name in vain. That is the third commandment, number one. But I also want to deal with that. Now, all of us know people who curse. If you don't know people who curse or use curse words, you don't know a lot of folks. But all of us have people in our family, or we know people, or we work with people, or we have been around people who have done a lot of cursing. And it can make you very uncomfortable to be around those people. It's almost impossible to have a logical conversation with people. For me, it is. I can only speak for me. This is why I'm opening the lines, because I want y'all to talk about this as well. It seems very uncomfortable for me to have conversations with people whose every other word is a curse word. It's very uncomfortable. And I know people are grown, and you can't tell folk how to talk. But it seems as if to me that there is a culture within us that allows us to use words that we should not be using as people of God, or we shouldn't be using, period, but as people of God. So I'm going to open the line and see what y'all think about that tonight. Maybe some of you may have some instances where you have seen that. Let's go to area code 919, last four digits, 1694. Are you on the line?
Yes. Reverend Rogers, Pastor Rogers, good evening.
Good evening.
Wow, yeah, this is going to take 2 weeks to cover. I have so much to say about this right now. I am driving home right now. I do have my earpiece and my Bluetooth on. But first of all, there was so much clarity in this lesson tonight. Even a child should be able to understand it. Thank you for... thank God for you giving you this lesson to break down, and you really did break it down to explain to the people of God. Second of all, I've always been told a person that, you know, curses, they don't have a vocabulary. They don't know how to express themselves, so they use smaller, vulgar words to make themselves come across as being big, bad, mean, or getting people to listen to them. And, you know, we have to pray for them. We have to pray for that spirit. In spite of, I had a supervisor died just last year. This man, he used the Lord's name, like every other word. And I stopped. I felt bad at first. By first knowing him, I didn't say anything, but then I started to say something while, you know, when he was starting to go into those rants, and it was still unchanged, so I just avoided him as much as I could. And you know, this man was on the job for 40 years, and then just as soon as he retired, he basically just withered away. He had a terrible death. You know what I mean? Just suffering and all this and all that. And now that I heard this lesson and I think about that, you know, that's by him using Lord's name in vain for so long, and that was probably part of his suffering. Mm-hmm. You know, and in my mind, that's what I'm thinking now. But you know that, but we, as Christians, we definitely have to be very careful when we hear people saying that we should say something. And I mean, I could go on and on and on, Reverend Miles, but please just call on somebody else, because I've worked up about it. I really am. Just okay, listen to this lesson again.
Okay, I'll come back to you in just a minute. Area code 919. 2314. Are you on the line?
Yes, sir.
Good evening.
Ms. Mangum.
Good evening.
Good
Ms.
evening.
Mangum.
Good evening. Yeah. I was enjoying what Deacon Taylor was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
About people. And see, some people really, it's just in their vocabulary. just the curse.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even think anything about it. Because it's just like today, I just was talking to somebody, and they said this word, one word, it was a curse word. And I said, oh, okay, come on now, hold on now. Don't be saying that now. But they didn't get offended, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they didn't say it, because I just don't like to hear and be around people that does a lot of cursing. It just does something to me.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like it.
This man,
go ahead.
Well, this, I'm going to ask you a question. This man who was found guilty of blaspheming the Lord's name, that was a, you think that was a good punishment for that? Do you think that was an adequate punishment for that?
Reverend Rogers.
Yes.
Okay. I couldn't hear you just now. Is
that's all right. I'll come back. I'm gonna come back to you.
Cover up a storm here too.
Yeah. We're having a storm running through here as well. I'll come back to you in just a minute. Area code 757, last four digits 5803. Are you on the line?
Yes. How are you today, Pastor Rogers?
Doing good. How are you?
Great. This is Sherry in Chesapeake. And, yes, it seems like in today's time, everyone from, I heard small children to teenagers to young adults to the elderly. It's so many that you hear using foul language or cursing, whichever you wish to call it, all the time. It's like you can't go anywhere, the grocery store, work, anywhere without hearing it. Honestly, I've even heard a couple of people in church use it while we were in church, and it really bothers me. But what bothers me the most, I know no one should do it, but the women that I hear nowadays, even on my job, from the top boss to female to, you know, just the average deputy clerk that she's bought off of the street, they continuously, all day long, all, any conversation, they don't care who they're talking to, they use foul language or cursing. And it really gets under my skin to hear the women do it. Because, you know, we just should respect ourselves enough to not even want to use it. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect and that I've never used a curse word. But it you know, I try never to use it. And I just definitely can't understand how someone would go through your entire day, every other word, and not caring who you're speaking to, and use that type of language. I've had to tell customers, well, many of you don't know, I actually work in a court system, so they're not customers. I work on the criminal side, so that tells you enough right there. But, you know, they'll come to my window, they're cursing at you. Sometimes
a lot of curse words,
I really do. And it's not necessarily sometimes that they're cursing at you, but they will use it and they're speaking to you. And I've had to just ask them, you know, could you please not use that? I don't use it, and I prefer that you not use it while you're speaking to me. Some will take it and be like, oh, you know, I'm sorry, please forgive me, whatever. Then there's some that, you know, don't care, and they're going to cuss you out even more.
Right, so, exactly.
It really bothers me a lot to hear that, but it is everywhere nowadays, everywhere.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Thank you. Thank you so very much for your input there. Ms. Mangum, let me ask you a question. Are you there?
Yes, Rob.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Let me ask you something. These entertainers and comedians that come on television that just curse all the time, do you think we should boycott them as people of God? Do you think that we should not say tell people not to look at them, but we should boycott them. We should not look at them. You think that's what we should be doing?
Well, yeah, I think that we should just not look, because if I'm looking at something on one station and it's a lot of, you know, those entertainers, it's a lot of cursing, you know, stuff going on, I just change it. I don't have to listen to it continuously like that.
Right, right, right. And particularly with our young people, with that, when
right.
rap came out, when rap music came out back in the early 90s, there was a plethora of cursing going on. I mean, it was cursing all over records and everything. They were calling women out of the names and all kind of stuff. And it seems as if a whole culture of young people who were maybe 17, 18 at that time, those people are now almost 40. And they're still using that same terminology. They're still using those same words. So I think that that is something we must look at. Area code 910, last four digits, 5088. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Pastor. How you
good
doing?
Evening. How are you? Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Okay.
Yes, I was listening to the conversation. I enjoyed the lesson 1 through 16, and we're talking about curse words, and I agree with the young lady that was on a little bit earlier. It, you know, you hear men and women both cussing, but when you hear a female curse, it's just a little different, you know, to me, anyway. You mainly see, you know, you mainly might, if you hear a man cuss, it might be like not as bad, but it's still bad. You understand what I'm saying? It's still bad, but it just looks worse, sounds worse, and looks worse on the female.
Okay, okay. Well, I can understand that. I can understand what you mean by that. So one of the things that we must understand is that, you know, these words can make all of us look bad, regardless of who we are. And I'm not just talking about folk who are unsaved. I'm talking about saved folk as well. And regardless of whether we're man or woman, these words can be hurtful, and they can be discouraging. I have seen mothers curse at their children. And I thought that was probably one of the worst things that they could do. Now I may be wrong, because I'm not a mother, I'm a father, but I never had to curse at any of my children. I don't know what kind of pressure can be placed on a mother to have to do that. But I'm sure all of us have seen that in Walmart or in one of the stores or something like that. You've seen those mothers that would actually curse at their children, and that breeds. That breeds another generation of cursing folks. You know, I was cursed out, so I'm going to curse at other folks, you know. Deacon Taylor.
Yes, sir.
When we were coming up, you know, grown folk wouldn't even let us listen to their conversation. If two grown folk had a conversation, they would tell us to get out of the way. Are you familiar with that?
I'm very familiar with that. I've heard that. I've been a part of that. I've seen that. You know, a child is seen and not heard. Yes, sir. I understand. I come from the end of that era anyway. Yeah. It was just a different time, and you know. The grown folks, they were having grown folk conversation, and a child wasn't needed in their conversation of whatever business they were talking about, and I understand it now because I see so many young people who around their parents who are just as young, you know, all these young parents, you know, and now, you know, they're more friends than parents now. And the children start getting unruly, and then they gotta wonder why is my son or daughter cussing at me or doing this or that or this or that. You know, there's been a lot of things gone by the wayside that used to be or used to happen that we have slowly gotten away from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was looking at a TV program the other night, and they were bleeping all the curse words, and I couldn't even see hear the program because there was so many bleeps in the program. So I couldn't even get a gist of what the program was about because every other word had to be bleeped out. And I just wondered, how can that be permitted on the TV screen? How can we? How do they permit that that profane language to be used on the TV screen, where children and anyone who can turn the TV on and see that? How have we gotten to the point where we just don't care about that? And I think this is a larger part of the lesson, in that so many people just don't pay attention to that. They don't look at that. They don't see that. Sherry, are you still on the line?
Yes, I am here.
You spoke earlier about you've even heard people in the church use profane language. When you hear that, what do you suppose is going on in that individual's mind? You're talking about a person who classifies himself as a Christian, a person who classifies themselves as one who goes under the Lord's name. What do you think is going on in that person's spirit when stuff like that happens? Now, we all, like you said earlier, that all of us, none of us are perfect. And there may be a word that slip out here, there, whatever, we don't know. But what do you think is going on when you hear people in the church do that?
First, let me say, not being judgmental or anything, but one of the persons that said something to me, they were speaking to me in church and used profanity. Her entire family, pretty much goes to church, and they what you say, call themselves in church. Again, not judging them, but things that I've seen them do or I know that they have done is not very Christian-like. And she just really didn't care because, first of all, the word that she used, oh, my goodness, it made me cringe so bad.
Mm-hmm.
I just immediately was trying to get away from her because, I never – that was the first time I heard it in church, and it just really threw me back. The second one I don't know as much about, but, whether it slipped out, and I'm sorry, I forgot your actual question, but whether it slipped out or what, it's just, even if you're going to use them in, God's house, I just cannot see using them at all. If you don't say nothing the whole service, just keep your mouth closed if you feel like you're going to say something that you should not say. But, I could not tell you what was truly going on with anybody that feels they can stand in church and say a curse word.
Well, if you come from a Christian family, it's going to be hard to stop. Go right ahead.
Reverend Rogers, to me, it's like they are not respecting God's house as being like a holy place.
Right.
Yeah, it's just certain things you don't do and say in God, in God's house.
Right. And I think that's why this man was stoned, because he was walking throughout the camp of Israel. Now, you got to remember, that camp was supposedly sacred. The tabernacle was in that camp. God's presence was in that camp. So basically, they were in church. Even though they were living in that camp, they were living in their church. And this young man was going throughout the camp using the Lord's name in vain and cursing. And that's why I think God pronounced stoning upon him, because up until that point, there was no specific punishment for blasphemers. It just simply said, thou shouldn't do it. But now, since this young man did it, God made it perfectly clear that anyone who would do that would receive the same punishment. Let me ask you something, Ms. Mangum. we know we talked about the cussing family. It, 9 times out of 10, when you hear someone cussing, they're not the only one. They got to get it from somewhere else, don't they?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It comes from the home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I believe that as well. Children mm-hmm. whose parents curse, when they go to school, they curse. And so we have to look. You can't look at the child and say your child curse. No, that child got that cursing from somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not natural mm-hmm. language. So it had to come from the home. It had to come from mm-hmm. somewhere in the home. It had to be represented in the home. That child has to hear that name, hear those words over and over mm-hmm. again for them to start using those words.
Mm-hmm.
Deaconess Rainey, how can the church continue to push that point that we should take God's name seriously? How can we continue to do that?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. One way is to lead by example.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Make sure you don't put yourself in a position that would,
mm-hmm.
you find yourself out of the will.
Mm-hmm.
And you might, do something. I think that's one way that you can, the church mm-hmm. can continue on and try to, follow that commandment, lead
yes.
by example.
Right, right. Exactly. That's a good suggestion. That's a good way to do it. And I think another good way to do it is to teach our children as well. I think another thing is churches are not involved in the teaching concept anymore. And
mm-hmm.
so children don't really have mentors in the church to look up to.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have, the deacon that used to be the deacon that everybody looked up to, or the mother in the church or the deaconess in the church that everybody looked up to.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that per se in the church today that you can look at and say, I want to kind of be like them. I want to emulate their life. We don't have
mm-hmm.
that anymore. And so our younger people, and I'm not giving older people, because a lot of old folk cuss too, but they've been doing it all
mm-hmm.
their life. They didn't just pick it up. There's nothing.
Yeah.
That's not a hobby. You just pick up one day. People that cuss, they've been cussing all their life. But our
mm-hmm.
young people are exposed to that at a very early age, and it gets ingrained in them. And I think that if they don't have any kind of positive role models in the home, in the school, or in the church, then they fall victim to doing some of the things that everybody else is doing, and that includes drinking, cursing, using drugs, and all kinds of things that would lead to destruction among young people. Deacon Taylor, when we take the Lord's name in vain, what are we actually saying?
I'm sorry, say that again, sir.
When we take the Lord's name in vain, what are we actually saying?
When we take the Lord's name in vain, we are, there's a list of things we're saying. We're saying we don't respect the power of God. We don't
mm-hmm.
respect the redeeming quality of God. We don't respect the loving, kindful, blessing God. I mean, we're totally going against the things that He can do for us, the things He has done for us, totally disrespecting the deity Himself. That's
mm-hmm.
that's what happens when people use the Lord's name in vain.
Amen. And you're absolutely right. And that's exactly what it means. It means that we don't have that respect for God and the power of God. And when we display that as people in the house of God, it shows the world. If we don't respect Him, why should they? If we don't have reverence for Him, why should they? It is important that you nip that in the bud. And that's another reason why this man was stoned, because God didn't want that to spread throughout the camp. He knew that if this guy got away with this, he got away with blaspheming and cursing all over the camp. Then soon it'd be two, then it'd be three, then it'd be four, then everybody would blaspheming and cursing throughout the camp. So God had to put that, nip that in the bud, as they say, and the griffin. They had to nip that in the bud. And the best way to do that is to put them to death. And that was why that punishment was so heavy upon that man, blaspheming the name of the Lord. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to add?
I'll
take one at a time. Sherry, go ahead. Sherry first.
I just want to really quickly say, I also think it can sometimes not only come from the home environment, it can come from an environment that you're in, such as college and other places. And I'm going to say this real quick because, for instance, my big boss, she brings her mother in a lot. Her mother is Christian through and through, but the daughter has a mouth like a sailor. So I can only figure maybe she went off to college and that's where she heard a lot of what she says. I'm not 100% sure. So I think it can be other environments. I mean, of course we know it can be, but just saying it's not always from the home.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Ms. Megan?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, you're right that this man, he was speaking against God, but the thing is, what I was reading, he was saying to speak against the spirit is to speak against the Lord, because God is he's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Deacon Taylor?
Yes, sir. I've had so many people that I've known to be saved, truly saved in my lifetime. I've had so many, to the best of my knowledge, Christian examples in my lifetime that didn't do this, didn't do that, didn't do this. And, you know, so if I hear somebody who, like, supposed to be in church, you know, curse or something like that, I'm looking at them sideways. I really would. I really would. I'm like, well, you know, how, for example, there was a show that started coming on called Greenleaf, and it was centered around church. But then, like, they was having these social gatherings. They was fellowshipping, but they was drinking. I'm like, and I've kind of got out of it because, you know, it lost a lot of zeal, because somebody else who's not saved would see that and say that, yeah, that's what they do. I mean, I ain't got to change nothing. And so that was a wrong representation. Right there. I mean, it soured my taste for watching the show, and I had started getting into it. And that once I saw that, you know, I was like, oh my goodness. So
disappointing.
All
right, Deaconess Rainey, do you have anything else you want to add?
No, I don't have anything to add.
Well, I thank all of you for being on tonight. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for the input for all of those who've been on the line tonight. We pray, God, that as we have learned your word tonight, God, that we'll continue to keep your word close to our hearts. Bless the house of worship as we continue to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all have a good night.
Amen.
We'll
good
see
night.
You Sunday morning.
Have a blessed night.
Good night.
Thank
you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Bye. Bye. I'm riding.